Firstly, there was some trepidation that relations with local Native Americans might go sour at some point, with some justification. There had been a rather difficult Indian war in Washington State in the 1850s. However, the conditions there never quite equaled conditions here after American settlement in western Montana. And secondly, the founding fathers of Missoula thought that this would provide a real economic boost to the town. You'd have a constant source of federal funds coming in and requirements to contract for wood, food, hardware, things like that.
The only real interaction, though, in terms of conflict with Native Americans, and it was a big one, was during the Nez Perce War and the Battle of the Big Hole. Troops from the fort were involved with that.
Indeed. Entirely by accident, the fort wasn't intended to counter the Nez Perce tribe in Idaho. The Nez Perce War in Idaho erupted in 1877 entirely independent of the fort's establishment, but the fort's garrison found itself brought into the conflict regardless at both the Fort Fizzle confrontation in 1877 and shortly afterward the Battle of the Big Hole, where the entire garrison of Fort Missoula participated in August 1877.
And, of course, many Native Americans lost their lives in that, and many of the fort troops did, too.
Indeed. Substantial casualties on both the Army and Native American sides. Four medals of honor were awarded to the Fort Missoula garrison for action that day, August 9, 1877.
Another interesting period of the fort's history, I think, was after the Civil War, when there was an African-American regiment at the fort known as the Buffalo Soldiers.
Yes, 25th U.S. Infantry Regiment.
And they became also the Bicycle Corps.
Yes, this was a small experimental unit put together by the Lieutenant Moss, James Moss, who was stationed at the fort at the time. And due to the fact that it was peacetime and there was lots of time and resources available for experimentation, he thought that the bicycle might be able to supplant the horse and the mule as the way of moving armed bodies of men around. So he was able to get some backing from the Army, and he made several trips on Spalding bicycles to the Mission Valley to the north, Yellowstone Valley to the south, and finally a very epic one in 1897 to St. Louis, Missouri.
Fun idea, didn't pan out too well.
No, it ran up against the arrival of the internal combustion engine, and that pretty much rendered the idea moot, although in World War II, certain armies did utilize a bicycle as a means of getting around. The Dutch Army, for one, in 1940, and more successfully, the Japanese in the capture of Singapore in 1942.
Another interesting period in the post-history was in the 1930s when the Civilian Conservation Corps was posted at Fort Missoula and did so much of what we enjoy in western Montana today was built by CCC crews, a lot of the trails and so on.
Indeed, one of the largest CCC, essentially the largest CCC district in America was run out of Fort Missoula. About 40,000 men were processed at Fort Missoula and sent out to work on the public lands, 25,000 of which were Montanans, and we just lost another one last week, Ed Hogan, who was both a CCC man here at Fort Missoula in the 30s and was with the UMROTC program in the 50s and 60s.
It's a great legacy, I think, what
Indeed.
The CCC has in Montana. And then, of course, one of the really, I think you'd have to say, the darkest chapters in the fort's history was during World War II when it became what was called the Alien Detention Center.
Italian merchant seamen and Italian nationals who were working in the U.S. at the time, relations soured with the Mussolini government in Italy in early 1941, but they were of military age and largely naval reservists as well.
And then several Japanese were imprisoned at the fort.
Japanese nationals out of 120,000 internees in the U.S., of Japanese descent during World War II, approximately 80,000 were Japanese American citizens. 40,000 were Japanese nationals. Only Japanese nationals were interned at Fort Missoula.
There were several surprises in the book, and one is I had no idea Mark Twain visited the fort in 1895.
Oh, yes, indeed. And it was interesting. Mark Twain had an unsuccessful, very short career as a Confederate volunteer in the Civil War. He essentially tried it for a week and didn't like it and then struck out for California. And then during the 1890s and 1900s, he was very much opposed to the American imperial effort overseas. He didn't like the Spanish-American War, the Philippine insurrection and so forth. But he was very taken with the soldiers at Fort Missoula and very much enjoyed his time talking with Colonel Andrew Burt at the fort and was very much entertained by the soldiers' stories that he listened to during the day he was there. He said he had not been that much entertained since his days at the Comstock Gold Fields in California.
Imagine the thrill of entertaining Mark Twain.
Indeed.
At one time, that fort, and I think this was before World War I, was known as, quote, the $1 million post.
Yes, indeed. And that was a product of Senator Joe Dixon's legislative efforts. Joe Dixon, well-known in western Montana as a progressive Republican of the 1900s and confidant of Theodore Roosevelt. He, at the time, the fort didn't have a permanent garrison, but he managed to channel so much War Department money to Fort Missoula that essentially a whole new state-of-the-art campus was built. These are the red-roofed and white concrete buildings we know today at the fort. And they were considered so advanced at the time that the place received the nickname the $1 million post.
And, of course, the fort is still alive and well today, although it has really varied roles. There are several organizations that are based out there now. And most of the buildings, I think, if not all, are occupied, right?
Very much so. And Fort Missoula is unique in that instance in that the Army, usually these frontier era posts either fell apart when they were abandoned early, or the Army got out of them after World War II and they were immediately subsumed into suburban development. Here in Missoula, we had a very unique instance. The Army stayed long enough, essentially until the point that a local historical consciousness and a historical community evolved. And when the Army finally pulled out for good, the preservationists were there and ready to move and start utilizing these buildings for historical interpretation. Historical Museum at Fort Missoula, Rocky Mountain Museum of Military History, and the Northern Rockies Heritage Center are the main preservationist organizations at the fort.
Well, if you want to know more about Fort Missoula, this is a wonderful synopsis of the history, and it's called Fort Missoula. And I've been speaking to the man who put it together, Tate Jones, who's also the executive director of the Rocky Mountain Museum of Military History. Tate, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.